Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. So we are week three into 28 Days of Love, our self-love challenge. And today we're going to be talking about the trouble with self-love and in particular, why we resist it so much and why people can sometimes not even be interested in trying it and be quite dismissive of it and why in our society we're not valuing self-love. This is quite a meaty topic.
Oh, it's so good. It's so valuable, I think, to get into this conversation because it helps us to highlight our own inner resistances and to understand it. And I think it's important that we understand it because we can then end up giving ourselves a hard time for resisting self-love.
Yeah.
And that's almost part of the problem. What I think was really struck me in the live recording at Liberty was you said something which you claim you've said before, but I'd not heard it fully, I think, where you talked about how the problem is in our society, we don't value that. How is it you said we don't value inner work? We so value all the time external results and bringing about change on the outside.
Yeah.
We don't value bringing about change on the inside.
Yeah.
Which is, it just struck me and I was just like, oh my God. It made so much sense of my own resistance to self-love and why I know self-love is important, but I do come at it. There is a part of me that's rolling its eyes and like a kind of, oh, bolshy teenager going kind of like, oh, yeah, all right, let's do this self-love thing. And kind of questioning, do we really need to do it? Is it really like, can't we just focus on something else that's going to bring about perhaps more impressive results? And I just think it makes so much sense that my value system that's been given to me, that I've been brought up with, it doesn't value that stuff. So even though intellectually I know it, and even though I've experienced the power of self-love, that my value system that has been given to me that values external results is so strong still that is still at play and still creates that resistance. And understanding that has really helped me get into 28 Days of Love this time with far less resistance than last time 3 years ago because I'm allowing the resistance. I'm understanding it. I'm getting it. I'm like, okay, I can see why it's there. We're still going to do it. And I'm not going to turn this into a stick to beat myself with, which I did last time. For a large part of 28 Days of Love, it's not big enough, it's not grand enough, it's not Instagrammable, I'm not good at self-love, which is something you challenged me on, actually.
I see you as someone who quite naturally practices self-love, but you weren't recognising that that was even self-love. And we were having a chat this morning on our Celebration Sisters WhatsApp group, and some of the girls were saying that too, that they didn't feel that they wanted to share some of their acts of love because they thought, oh, they're not good enough, or they're not big enough, or that's not self-love, is it?
Well, exactly.
Whether it actually is self-love.
Yeah, so it was really interesting. One of our friends was saying how she hadn't started it yet. She'd bought herself the post-it notes. She bought herself coloured pens. She was going to write down all these, you know, different acts of self-love that she could choose from. And then she got ill. So then she said, well, I'll do it when I feel better. And then she had loads of work on. So then she said, I'll do it when I'm less busy, which I bet so many people have got that one going on. So it was waiting until I've got more time, waiting until I'm feeling good to start doing it. And she recognized that so much of it is like waiting until she was deserving of it.
Yeah.
And I think it's really interesting reading up on it. So kind of reading around why we resist self-love, the problem with self-love, why it's sometimes hard to get people to try it, is that there's this perfectionism that happens with it. So we really value perfectionism. Mm. And also we then bring perfectionism to self-love and then end up giving ourselves a hard time. It becomes a stick to beat ourselves with. It's like, I'm not doing it well enough, which I totally do. I totally fall into that. And actually what I found really valuable was when you said to me, but you are good at self-love. And I was like, Vicky doesn't know what she's talking about. I'm really not that good. And then I was like, okay, well, maybe I should start looking at the things that I do on a daily basis that actually do come from a place of love, rather than overriding it with that harsh, shitty committee that's like, you're not doing well enough. It's like, hold on a second. Let's just take a look. We said this to our friend because she said she was going to actually sit down and look back at the past few weeks and see the ways she had been loving to herself, perhaps hadn't acknowledged it. It's a really good place to start, because when I started looking at, do you know what? I do those things, but I'm just not framing them as self-love. As soon as I started reframing them as self-love and going, I can do this, I do this, it suddenly made it easier to do those deliberate daily acts of self-love. And I also let them be really small. So I allowed it to be one day, do you know what? When I went to get some food, I chose the food I really wanted in Itsu or Pret or wherever I was getting it from. Or, you know, just small things like that. Actually, I decided not to do some work on the way into town, and I listened to a podcast, or I listened to some music, or I just watched people.
Yeah.
There's my daily act of self-love, done.
Yeah.
Well done. Rather than last time, it had to be like, what's a really impressive one to show people, or what's good enough?
Mm.
And that perfectionism just hijacked it.
So one of my biggest acts of self-love in the challenge so far was the other day when I was ill with a cold, and I just listened to my body and I let myself rest. And you wouldn't believe how much I resisted it.
I know, and how much you resisted it.
You know, because I was even texting you in the morning and saying, yeah, I'm just going to get my laptop and bring it to bed.
Having sent me a picture of you looking absolutely terrible, like so ill, I was like, oh God. Dude, and then I said to you, right, don't do any work today, stay in bed, rest. And you went, oh, I was just putting my laptop on my lap. Are you insane? Have you taken a look at yourself? You look terrible. You must feel awful.
Yeah, and I didn't realise actually how much I was resisting it. When I'm ill or poorly, I actually give myself a hard time because I'm not able to be productive. I'm not able to tick things off my to-do list.
Yeah, frustrated with yourself.
Frustrated, yeah, exactly. And I hadn't realised actually this is something that happens to me every time I'm ill. Mm. I always feel like this. And this is the first time that I just let myself rest, and it's exactly what I needed.
And
I was just reflecting on it and thinking, wow, it's like that. I think it's Brené Brown that says your self-worth is not wrapped up in your productivity. And that's exactly what I've had going on and how I've been programmed to think about self-worth. It's actually more about what you're doing rather than just who you are and just being. I'm way more comfortable with doing than being.
Yeah.
And so that is a real learning journey for me that I'm going to continue. I'm going to continue learning on that journey of just letting myself stop and letting myself have a nap if I need it and letting myself rest, or admitting when I can't maybe achieve all the things I thought I was going to achieve during the day, and that I can't maybe tick everything off my to-do list during the day, and that it's okay. And it was just such a big act of love. That was very new to me. To stop.
I think a lot of people will be hearing themselves in that. And I think that we do. We value doing. We don't value being. So self-love, I think it's a difficult sell. I think a lot of people, we've got loads of people doing 28 Days of Love. But I'm really curious about the number of people who might be listening going, oh yeah, I meant to, or... Yeah, you know, I get a lot of friends and family, for example, and I'll say, are you going to do 28 Days of Love? And then we're like, oh, no, I do enough of that already. And it's so interesting that that is like one of the most offensive, like, back away, don't come and shine this self-love light on me. I don't want to go there. I think there's so many layers to this. And I think it's such an interesting one. I think so much because we don't value it, we're like, okay, what's it going to do for me?
Yeah.
I think also we perhaps underneath there's a fear of, and an understandable fear, where is this going to take me? Because when you open up to self-love, you also unearth the ways you've been neglecting yourself. Mm-hmm. You also open up sometimes to the pain of neglecting yourself. Mm-hmm. So there might be that going on as well. But I think there's something interesting. That if we were to say to people, okay, here's a button. If you push it now, you will be immersed in a feeling of love Who wouldn't push that button? I would push it instantly. I don't know anyone who'd be like, no thanks, not today. I'd rather not. So if you say to people, okay, here is a course that you can do about self-love, that by the end of it, you will feel so much more immersed in that space of love. I can feel it in myself. I'm less interested. Why am I not so interested in that? Is it because I still am caught up in the narrative that love is something that ultimately I wish to receive and be passive in? Is it that when I have to do stuff to get to that place, I'm like, really? Am I really going to feel the love when I have to be the one to give it to myself? Like, I just think there's so much around this that even at the point of giving it a go, people are reluctant, because I know it's in me. I've felt it in me. Running 28 Days of Love again, as we got closer to the date, I could feel the resistance, the like disinterest or what, you know, and like, really? Do we really want to do this? Now I'm doing it. I'm like, oh my God, this makes such a difference. I'm aligning myself with love. I'm turning the volume up on love in my inner dialogue. What a difference it makes. I'd forgotten this. You know, we've done this before. But at the point of choosing to do it and giving it a go, I was probably weighing it up with other stuff that, you know, my limited scarcity time. Do I really want to spend it on, I mean, literally, it can take a couple of seconds to do an act of self-love. So really, what was I talking about? But do I really want to prioritize this? Really, what is it going to do for me? And that's coming from me after 5 years of doing Project Love. We talk about this stuff all the time, and I still got it strongly in me.
But wasn't it interesting, your resistance before we decided to do this again was we were talking about whether it's more about love rather than self-love and sharing love in the world. We were talking about random acts of kindness, helping out a stranger and things like that. And 28 Days of Love nearly became just about that, about sharing love and celebrating love and sharing it with others, with the world. But isn't it interesting now, reflecting on that, how much that is a self-sacrifice narrative coming back in?
Yeah.
Because of course self-love can include other people, and other people benefit, of course, from your self-love. It's a ripple effect.
Of course.
You don't need to make it just about love to encourage people to then share it with others and share it with the world. They will naturally do that.
Yeah.
But it's that self-sacrifice narrative that we've been programmed, that we've been brought up with, that still sometimes seeps in.
Definitely. Self-love is, and it's self-indulgent and it's selfish.
Yeah.
And also how people are going to judge it as being self-indulgent and selfish, because they do and because I do. There's a part of me that judges it that, because I've been brought up with that, very much brought up by that in my family. And I still see it. They're like, oh yeah, bought yourself those flowers, did you? Eye roll. Like, yeah, I did. But so, you know, and I think it's really important to recognize that and allow for that resistance to be there. That's the most loving thing, actually, that we can do, is to go, that's okay.
Yeah.
So my resistance has been on this journey, and I'm not trying to push her out, not trying to make her wrong. And I'm just allowing that to be there and not then giving myself a hard time. So it was really interesting. I found an article by a woman who talks about this, and she talks about self-love, self-centric self-love and purpose-centric self-love. I don't know if she's come up with these terms or, and it's really interesting. The self-centric self-love, you see it in people who probably have a don't enjoy their job, work really hard. And so they use these, in quotes, self-love, pampering days, or going off to, or buying themselves nice things to kind of pay off the fact that they're in a job that makes them miserable, that makes them money. So it's like an escapism. So it's an escape from the burden of their normal life. And she says she used to do this, but what she does now is a purpose-centric self-love, where she feeds herself with self-love to recharge, to fill her up, because she knows that that makes her go back out into the world from a space of love and has her best self. And I kind of loved that. I found it really interesting, the self-centric self-love, because I hear a lot of people do that, who'll be like, oh yeah, I do things like that all the time for myself. I take myself massages on all the time. Another deflection of, so don't, I don't need to do more. And it's like,
Well, like, I'm going to reach my limit. I
don't need more. That's quite enough. Thanks very much.
It's going to be overwhelming if I did any more.
I think it'd be a bit much to be doing any more self-love than that. And immediately that's, to me, is a red flag, that they're not actually coming from a place of self-love. So it's interesting to hear that. But then I was curious about how she was now justifying self-love, because she was making it, giving it more meaning, that I'm doing this because it makes me the best version of myself when I go back into the world. And I was like, this sounds like someone who is justifying self-love, hooking it to her purpose out in the world so that it doesn't feel selfish to her. And so I kind of liked it. My ego definitely liked it. It's like, oh, I'm going to subscribe to this idea. This is now going to justify it. But I was like, what about just self-love? Because let's all practice self-love and fill the world with love inside and out.
Yeah.
But it goes, more being than doing.
Yeah, but it goes back to what we were saying at the beginning, that as a society, we're valuing our output and what we produce, what we create, what we put out into the world and the results, rather than the input, our input and how we give back to ourselves. So of course, self-love isn't going to be valued in our society as it is today. And it reminds me of that quote, in a society that profits from your self-doubt, liking yourself or loving yourself is a rebellious act. And it is. And there was another quote that I saw on Instagram, which was amazing. Self-love is the greatest middle finger of all time. And it is a rebellious act.
Yeah.
And so it will feel uncomfortable. And that's why I felt really uncomfortable the other day by letting myself rest, because it's being and resting and not doing and creating and being productive. And so I was out of my comfort zone. And so it does take courage, I think, even in the smallest of acts of love that you can give to yourself, to do them.
I think people don't, you don't get the power of self-love until you try it.
Yeah.
And actually, it does create external results. Like, it really does. Once you start doing it, you realize what an impact it has on your relationship. You know, that's why we say, if you are looking for love, then self-love is a thing that will help you to attract in a healthy, loving partner.
Yeah.
If you're in a relationship and you really want to help it last, then self-love is the fuel, is the that will keep it going. If you're an ambitious, driven person and you've got goals and you've got dreams you want to make happen this year, then again, self-love is the fuel that will help you make it happen without burning out. And it's, you know, and if you're a parent, oh my God, self-love is so important if what you want to create is a happy and healthy home. But we're just learning that now, and I think and it is something that you need to try, and until you actually get and realize the impact of it.
Yeah, it's like with any topic that's talked about a lot, so self-love, gratitude's another one, people can roll their eyes to it because they hear it talked about so much that they sometimes dismiss it, because they might get it on an intellectual level, but maybe they haven't ever practiced it and understand it on an experiential level.
Yeah.
And that's what this challenge is all about. Yes, we all know that, you know by now the importance of it, especially if you are engaged in this self-help world, because now there's a lot more conversation about this, but there's a big difference between intellectually knowing it and experientially feeling it and going through it and going, oh yeah, I forgot how powerful, I didn't realize, I'd never experienced the power of it.
You get it, and you also get, you start to feel what is possible. I think that awakens inside. It's like, oh yeah. And it's a remembering.
Yeah.
You're like, oh God, this, yes, you know, there is something that feels really right about this. And, you know, and I think also that there is plenty of research out there that shows that self-care and self-love have a huge impact on your mental health, on your energy levels, on your ability to recover from illness, on preventing illness. But just in the same way that positive thinking, there's plenty of research of how important it is when it comes to recovering from illness, all kinds of illness. But it's all, like, society hasn't fully caught up with that yet. So this, it's out there, the research is out there, the evidence is out there. But the narratives of society is still that love is something you get given by someone else. Illnesses are cured by medicine, by outer. So it's, there's that power that we have to fill ourselves up with love. That power that we have to heal ourselves is still not being fully recognized by our society. And that's why I still think self-love is a hard sell. It's so interesting. And it's a hard sell to me. And that's what amazes me. I'm just like, you know, if you haven't started doing 28 Days of Love and you meant to, first of all, you can do it anytime. But, you know, I get it. Like, I'm totally with you on it. If it weren't for the fact, honestly, if it weren't for the fact that we were running it, I wonder if I would have done it, or if I would be like, I meant to do it, and I maybe did one or two things, and then just life got too busy. There was an interesting, someone said something on Instagram the other day about how it was difficult to dedicate loads of time to self-love. And I thought, you don't need to. Like, you really don't. Maybe that's a misunderstanding that you suddenly have to dedicate huge parts of your life to really focusing on self-love. What I've found is with literally just a few seconds or a minute of turning my attention to loving myself, doing one simple act of self-love, even if it's writing a few gratitudes, getting myself a nice lunch and tuning into that loving voice and that nurturing side of me, and turning that love and that nurturing side of me onto me just for a few moments in the day, really does make a difference. That is all that it takes. You know, we said with this that we wanted to show you how easy it is to give yourself a little bit of love each day and the difference that it will make. And I'm definitely a student in that. I've definitely reminded myself of that. And I think before we started it, we started doing it, I think there was a lot of doubt there about, really, does it really make that much of a difference? I was definitely of the school of thought of like, or I'd slip back into seeing it as a nice to have, a luxury when you've got time, or even when I'm deserving of it. So, you know, how many of us are still in that dynamic of conditional love? When I think you're deserving it, if I'll give you some love today, you didn't deserve it, I won't give you love. Like, I wonder how much that's going on as well.
Yeah, and you know, you just made me think about the time of day when I've been doing my acts of love recently have been at the end of the day. And I think that is feeding into that narrative of when I've done a full day's work,
yeah,
then I deserve the act of love. And I think the ultimate rebellion in this is to do something in the morning before you've even done anything productive. Like, have that time with yourself, even if it's just a few moments in the morning without your phone, and you just sit with yourself and check in with yourself or do some gratitudes.
Yeah.
And like, that feels rebellious to me
to start the day
with it.
That's really good. I've totally fallen into that. Yeah. I've totally fallen into like, oh God, what am I going to do today? And doing it at the end of the day. And I think, you know, watching it to not become like another additional thing to your to-do list. Like, hang on, hold on, let's pull it out of there. Remember that it can be super easy, super quick. Mm-hmm. And it's about nourishing you, not adding more pressure to you to be this perfect version of yourself, this perfect self-loving version of yourself. The whole point of self-love is that you are rejecting the perfectionist tendencies of our society. Not rejecting, because self-love isn't about rejecting either. Gently, lovingly challenging the perfectionist tendencies that you may have taken on from your society. Yeah, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to just gently invite myself to start the day with an act of self-love at least a couple of times a week.
Yeah.
There you go. There's a gentle challenge that doesn't feel too hard that I can easily turn into a stick to beat myself with.
And it's about having compassion for yourself, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
And I think if you look at the hashtag self-love on Instagram, I'm sure you'll just see lots of green juices and yoga poses amongst lots of other things and quotes and things. But I think sometimes it is used as a way to score points on Instagram, and sometimes you can tell why someone's sharing something.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's about stepping away from that, and sometimes your self-love acts will not be Instagrammable.
Oh my God, most of my self-love acts aren't Instagrammable.
That's not what it's about. I remember in 2016, one of yours was an Ocado order.
Was it?
Yeah, that's amazing. Like,
I think that was the first time I'd made an Ocado order.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, Waitrose food. Yeah. Now that would be something. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And our aim really is about expanding our understanding and our notions of self-love, just like it is, you know, understanding that love comes in different forms. Mm. It's not just about romantic love. But I think within self-love, it's also about expanding our definition of that. And then, yes, bubble baths and buying ourselves chocolates and flowers are lovely and are very much a part of it, but that's not the only way that you practice self-love.
Oh my God, the vast majority of self-love acts this time in 28 Days of Love have involved sleep, naps and rest.
Yeah.
Which again, my only challenge in this 28 Days of Love challenge this time is the fact that Vicky and I take it in turns each day to take a picture of our act of self-love. And it's just like, these are just, self-love is not that Instagrammable.
No.
I'm like, here we go again. I mean, here I am holding up my nails that I painted. I mean, who wants to see that? But you know, it's really, it's a message that goes with it. And it's the act of love that goes with it.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that it's not Instagrammable is a good thing, is a good sign.
But it just really surprised me that my biggest acts of love were resting and giving myself more time.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was a game changer.
Instagram that.
And I have, how do you Instagram that? My face.
Someone actually, a few people have said to us, they've sent us DMs and said, I just wanted to share my act because there is no way of Instagramming this because it was a choice I made or it was a voice in my head or the way I spoke to myself. So gorgeous.
Yeah.
But they're just like, I can't Instagram that. I'm like, yeah, great.
You don't need to.
Just
celebrate it in your own way.
Yeah. And I think sharing it and celebrating it with friends or with us is really, that's really powerful as well. Acknowledging it, saying, I did it. I did this act of self-love today.
Yeah.
And it was choosing to have a nap, have a rest, have an early night.
Yes. So I met up with some friends the other day and they were saying their acts of love, well, we were celebrating their acts of love, and one of them was delegating. So she was delegating at work and the other one was asking for help. And I was like, yeah, mine was resting and giving myself more time. We were like giving ourselves high fives because that's amazing. These are new acts of love for me and for them too. And so we're very much out of our comfort zone with it. But it's amazing to continue learning.
Yeah. Exactly. I was just thinking, I would love to see some Instagram pictures of someone delegating at work.
Like a Getty image.
Can you,
of someone
can you
in
just
a
take a picture of me asking for help?
Take
I'd
a
like
picture
to see some
of me
of those.
Giving myself more time, just looking at my Google Calendar with space in it, smiling. But you know, when you, like, I have a tendency to overschedule myself. So for me, that was a massive game changer in my day. So I think it's just knowing that we're all students on this journey and to just keep learning, like keep expanding your own version of self-love.
Yeah, and I think if you haven't actually started 28 Days of Love, you can do this at any time. But if you had an intention to give it a go and you haven't, you could do it at any time at all. But do give it a go and treat it as an experiment. That's it. It really is about give it a go, because in giving it a go, you will start to see the results. And one final thing is that someone did say to us actually at the Liberty live recording, they said, you know, they tried it before and they did a few acts of self-love and they didn't really feel anything. And I think there's that as well. Don't expect like each time you to do it to feel this enormous wave of love. I think it's just, you know, practice. Just it's exercising that new muscle.
Yeah.
And if you've been out of practice, you're not going to see big results immediately. It's like step by step, slowly awakening that self-love inside of you.
Yeah.
And that's why, and it's you're creating a habit.
Yeah.
You know, that's why it's 28 days. You're creating a habit, and really just treat it as an experiment. Share how you're getting on with us. Share how you're getting on with friends. Don't let those perfectionist tendencies to creep in.
Yeah, it's okay to not have an epiphany during the challenge.
Yes.
I nearly popped onto stories to say this the other day. Maybe I will before the challenge is up. Because some people are sharing, you know, amazing things that have been happening since they've been doing this. And we saw this again in 2016, someone asking for a pay rise and feeling that she had the confidence to do that. And she said that's because she was feeling so good in herself and so full of love that she then had the confidence to ask for that pay rise, something that she wouldn't have done before, which is absolutely amazing. It's also okay to not have any epiphanies during the challenge.
Because those external results, it's really about just if you feel a little bit better each day, isn't it worth it? Just, you know, and that's really what we want to feel. You know, if you could hit that button of like each day you could feel a little, just a little bit of a boost, you'd hit that button.
Each it's the day same thing. Spring in your step.
Yeah, exactly.
So as we said, if you haven't started 28 days yet and you would like to start, then you can start anytime. We've got a link in our bio with a guide to how you get started. And if you are already on the journey and maybe you've lost momentum with it, it's okay, that's totally normal.
Exactly.
You're building a new habit, so of course you're going to encounter resistance. As you were saying before, it's just about being compassionate with yourself and meeting yourself where you are, and just starting small, being gentle with yourself and building up step by step.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode, and if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.